Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Friends, good morning. Father Frank Pavone, National Director of Priests for Life. Glad to have you join me for a few moments. I want to tell you about a great initiative that you hopefully you heard about during President Trump's term. But he has put a groundwork in place that we need to build on, that we need to defend, that we need to use as a roadmap going forward for the education of our children. And I'm going to tell you why that's so important and show you a special report that was issued that we have put on our website for you to look at. But before we get into that, let's begin with prayer. And, we are focused, as much as we are focused on legislation and politics, we here at Priests for Life are leaders in the area of healing people after abortion. We have our Rachel's Vineyard ministry working throughout the world as the largest effort in the world for healing people after abortion. Silent No More campaign, those who have been through abortion and found healing, sharing their testimonies. And we have many resources, educational and also pastoral, including this prayer booklet, In the Heart of His Mercy, Prayers for Healing the Wounds of Abortion. And I want to start off today by reading and praying with you a prayer for the grandparents of aborted babies. There are many men and women out there whose son or daughter became the parent of a child that they didn't feel ready to take care of, or perhaps the dad was trying to stop the abortion but couldn't. But in any case, an abortion occurred and they are the grandparents of that aborted child. So I want to say this little prayer and then I'll talk to you about this special report. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father of life and source of wisdom, you care for your sons and daughters throughout the generations. You forgive the sins and guide the paths of all your people. You give parents the special calling to give life to their children and to bring them up in the ways of your law. We ask you today to hold close to yourself all those who have a son or daughter who has been involved in abortion. Give repentance and forgiveness to those who in any way consented to taking the life of their grandchild. Give comfort to those who tried to save the life of their grandchild and to those who lost the grandchild without even knowing it. Give to all grandparents the joy of life, the wisdom that comes with the passing of the years, and the gratitude and trust that marks all your children. And bring us all to the joys of life eternal. We pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so, friends, if you want this booklet, In the Heart of His Mercy, go to prolifeproducts.org. That's our store, and you'll find it there. prolifeproducts.org. The accomplishments of President Donald Trump are too many to keep up with. They really are. And he did more in 4 years than Joe Biden did in 47 years in public office, and than anybody else did, really. It is an impressive list of accomplishments, and I want to invite you to go to prolifepresident.com to read through those accomplishments, because they constitute a foundation now that we need to defend and build upon. They constitute a blueprint for the future. And one of the elements of that blueprint is education, the education of our children. On our website, our main website, endabortion.us, and our political website, prolifevote.com, I have put this report, the 1776 report, a report issued just last month, January of 2021, by the President's Advisory 1776 Commission. That is President Trump's Advisory 1776 Commission. What is going on here? What is the president trying to do? This is a point of unity for the country. You want to unite a country, you unite that country around its principles, around its history, around the purpose that was envisioned by the founders of that country. We have a clear history. And unfortunately, in our day, we have various forces. You may know about the 1619 Project, for example, birthed out of that most highly revered institution, the New York Times, where people are trying to redefine our history, rewrite our history, retrain our children and grandchildren to think not that America is great and noble, but rather that America is failed and evil and racist and corrupt right from its very foundations, rooted in slavery and oppression. And all they can say about the past of America is that it's negative. Boy, have these people missed out. You know, Fulton Sheen used to say, the tragedy of life is not what we suffer. The tragedy of life is what we miss. And we've got a whole group of people living in this country today. They're living in the greatest and most exceptional nation in history, and they're missing it. That, to me, is it's a tremendous tragedy. And boy, are they going to be sorry when someday they find out too late, maybe not until the next life. How did I miss the fact that I'm living in the greatest country in history? How did I miss all the reasons I had to celebrate and be grateful? This 1776 report goes through a number of things. First of all, it talks about the meaning of our Declaration of Independence. Then it goes into the meaning of our Constitution. Then it goes into the challenges that our country has faced, the challenges to its founding principles, and then it talks about renewing our nation and the different elements of the task before us, and then it has a beautiful conclusion. Let me just mention here some of the highlights. First of all, when we talk about patriotic education, teaching our children our true history and a proper understanding of our principles, it's not only about our history that we have a disagreement that has broken out in our country, but it's also about the very purpose of our nation and the direction of our future. Now, the story of America is not a story of perfection. It's a story of constantly thriving and fighting and renewing ourselves to be faithful to the principles set out at the beginning. But the greatness of the country precisely is that it was founded on those principles, not that those principles were never heard of before. For example, the equality of every human being, the self-evident truth that all are created equal, men and women and everybody, all are created equal. That's a self-evident truth that was acknowledged in history before. But for the first time in the United States of America, for the first time we have a country that explicitly makes these principles their founding political doctrine. This is the first time that that happened. Let me go to the board here and mark out a couple of things here. So we have founding principles. And these principles have a structure and they have an articulation in the Declaration of Independence. And first and foremost, what we're talking about here is the self-evident truth of the equality. Now, we're not talking about equality in size or strength or even health. Equality in dignity, in human rights, the equality of every person. Not an equality granted to them by government, but rather by God, and inhering in their human nature. In other words, nobody can take it away from you any more than they can take away your humanity, and you can't take it away from yourself. Our rights are unalienable. Unalienable means that somebody else can't take them from us, nor can we throw them away. I can't make myself not human. If I can't make myself not human, that means neither can I throw away my own human rights or human dignity. Now, based on the equality of every person, you have two principles that flow from that immediately that, again, our founding fathers made very clear. If everyone is equal, then nobody can dominate another person. Nobody can even govern another person without their consent. And therefore, the government founded among a people who are all created equal must be a government based on the consent of the governed. We the people. Government of the people, by the people, for the people. Why? Because everyone is equal. So nobody can be superior unless people say, you are going to represent us in the formulation of our laws, for example. So you have the truth of the government founded on the consent of the governed, and then also, secondly, you have the recognition and protection of basic human rights. So these two things, and of course we see again in our declaration the articulation of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as fundamental rights. Those are not the only rights. Then, of course, in the Constitution, we have the Bill of Rights. Again, those are not the only rights that we have, but it is a list of some of the key ones, but that does not exhaust what we have. So the equality of every person leads to the consent of the government based on the consent of the governed, and a government that exists for the protection of basic human rights. Remember, the Declaration says that to secure these rights, governments are instituted to secure the rights, not to give them, and certainly not to take them away. Have there been problems in our history where we have not lived up to these principles? Well, of course. And nobody is saying, when we talk about patriotic education, nobody is saying that we ought to pretend that we are perfect. What we are saying is that we should recognize that we are noble, and that every time in situations in history have arisen that have threatened these principles, America has fought back. In fact, it is the very fact that we were founded on an explicit recognition of these principles that then has allowed us to fight back, that movements have arisen within our history precisely to fight back. Let me, we don't have time to go into a great deal of detail on this report, but let me just list for you when it talks about some of the ways that we have both fallen short and fought back to reassert these founding principles. Of course, slavery has contradicted, and of course that was a reality, it has been a reality in America and all throughout the world. Our nation, in fact, was born at a time when, you know, the world was enmeshed in slavery, but it was also born at the cusp of the fight against this institution, including the fight against it in America. And what that Declaration of Independence did by making our formal political doctrine and foundation the equality of every person was to plant the seed of the destruction and abolition of slavery, not only in this country, but then America being a force for fighting it throughout the world. So again, you have the problem, but then you have in America and in her founding principles, you have the solution, you have the pushback against it. Then we have this problem called progressivism, not to be confused with progress, but rather embodying the idea that the principles once articulated of human rights and equality and, you know, governed by our Creator and so forth, that these were proper for that time, but they're outdated now. And that in every generation, we sort of have to, you know, this leads to the idea of, you know, rewriting the Constitution, which activist judges are very good at doing. But this idea is that, no, we're not talking about eternal truths. We're talking about, you know, things that are so culture-bound and have to change all the time. Then, of course, we have these two movements of fascism and communism, again, that America has fought against and that are exactly the opposite of the notion of the consent of the governed. Instead of every person being equal and government existing for the people, here you have movements that developed that essentially put the state first and said that people are at the service of the state. And then, of course, racism and identity politics. Lots of experts and heralds and apostles of this floating around today. Instead of focusing on the equal dignity of each individual and the fact that whether you are white or black or Asian or Hispanic or whatever your background, you, if you work hard, if you play by the rules, if you keep focused on your ideals and if you strive to make use of all the opportunity that this country gives, that you can become president of the United States. You can become whatever you want to become. You can thrive in business. You can thrive in your development, in your family, in whatever chosen path you have. The equality and dignity of the individual, the equal opportunity given to individuals. Instead, we have today this movement that puts everything in racist terms and talks about the rights of groups, identifies people in terms of groups and groups that are oppressed and groups that must be given equal opportunity, and everything gets translated into identity rather than human dignity. And this goes into it in a great deal of detail, but let me look with you also at the section of this document which talks about, okay, how do we renew our country? And you know, when the President Trump always talks about making America great again, and we who have been part of this movement and continue to do so use that phrase, we're not talking about nostalgia or turning back the clock. We're talking about getting deep into the roots of the foundation. What's the renewal of America? Rediscovering and reasserting those founding principles. And the document here, this report, and by the way, for those that are just joining us, we're talking about the 1776 report of President Trump's advisory 1776 commission. He committed to defending and promoting patriotic education so that our students would understand our true history and the principles of our nation. Look at these subheadings of this document. The role of the family. Those of you familiar with Catholic teaching, does that sound familiar? Parents are the primary educators of their children. Healthy family means healthy society. Does that ring a bell? Any of you out there who are Catholics? Those of you who are Catholics and supported Biden, you've got some explaining to do, okay, as to why you would support a party that's bent on destroying the family rather than on actually protecting it and celebrating it and strengthening it. You've got some explaining to do, and we're not going to let you off the hook. Not today, not tomorrow, not next year, not ever. Role of the family. Strengthening the family, strengthening the rights of parents. Parents want to send their children to a religious school of their choice. Why should they be at a financial disadvantage when they want to do that? Why should they feel forced that they have to send their children to failing government schools when there are other options, but oh my goodness, I can't afford it? President Trump's approach is help them to afford it. Give them some credit. Give them a break. The role of the family. Teaching America. In other words, we have a history. Let's not be ashamed of it. Let's learn it. And let's teach it in our schools. A scholarship of freedom is another subsection here. You know, what do we often find on campuses? We find the exact opposite of this, where scholarship that might say America, in fact, is an exceptional nation, is not only looked down on, but is muzzled, and people are punished for it. You all know what this is. And then the American mind and reverence for the laws. These are the other two sections. Reverence for law, not mob rule. And again, the American vision of things, the American understanding of government and human dignity. Let me sit down here again and read for you just a couple of beautiful, show you the beauty of this document. Listen to this paragraph from its conclusion. On the 150th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, President Calvin Coolidge raised the immortal banner in his time. It is often asserted, he said, that the world has made a great deal of progress since 1776, and that we may therefore very well discard their conclusions for something more modern. But that reasoning cannot be applied to this great charter. If all men are created equal, that is final. If they are endowed with inalienable rights, that is final. If governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed, that is final. No advance, no progress can be made beyond these propositions. Isn't that a beautiful insight? Isn't that a powerful reason for this kind of commission and this kind of report, the 1776 commission? Because in 1776, and by the way, we're coming up on the 250th anniversary of our country. Our 250th birthday is going to be in 2026. We've got to start preparing now for that as a great celebration. Because, you know, 1776, that doesn't mean we're going backwards. That means, again, we're going deeper into the foundations of who we are today and of the path we have to follow for the future. Because you don't go beyond these truths. You don't progress beyond the idea that all people are equal. That's final, as President Coolidge said. Listen to this other beautiful paragraph that follows in the conclusion of this document. America's founding principles are true, not because any generation, including our own, has lived them perfectly, but because they are based on the eternal truths of the human condition. They are rooted in our capacity for evil and power for good, our longing for truth and striving for justice, our need for order and our love for freedom. Above all else, these principles recognize the worth, equality, potential, dignity, and glory of each and every man, woman, and child created in the image of God. You know, I'm a priest, and I don't know of a church document that it says these things better than the President Trump's advisory 1776 commission that just issued this report a few weeks ago. Find it at endabortion.us, our main website here at Priests for Life, or at prolifevote.com, our political website. You know, I've just given you an all too brief highlighting of a few key points. Please take the time to read this document. This is the whole thing. It's not that long. You can read it in one sitting. You will love it. And it's time for us now to defend. Let's see now what's going to happen under this current administration in terms of this idea of patriotic education. Because, you know, now, you know, Biden said in his inaugural, you know, we have to fight against, you know, white supremacy and systemic racism. Yeah, systemic racism when you had, you know, Barack Obama sitting there and Kamala Harris just sworn in as the first female vice president, African and Asian American descent. And, oh, yeah, we've got all kinds of systemic racism. Clarence Thomas there, black Supreme Court justice. And, you know, all the signs are all around us, aren't they? Friends, I'm not saying that we don't constantly have to be rooting out racism and prejudice from our hearts. But really, do we seriously think that this is, you know, this is one of our key problems here, affecting the very structure and foundations of our country, white supremacy and systemic racism? Can we please get off this bandwagon of identity politics and without forgetting to be vigilant and fighting against all these evils, because these evils are rooted in the human heart, as Jesus told us. We're always capable of sin. But let's look a little bit more soberly at what the real problems are in our midst. And we've got this focus on identity politics and this desire to rewrite our history, to cancel our history, to tear down statues and monuments. You know, together with the 1776 Commission, the president commissioned the National Garden of American Heroes. Let's see what's going to happen with that, too, under Biden. Are these people now in Washington going to reverse course and say, no, 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 we don't want to teach our children our history. We don't want to teach the next generation the founding principles of equal rights given by our Creator and government by the consent of the governed. No, 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 we don't want to remember the great figures of American history, 244 of whom, by the way, the president named as people who should have statues in this National Garden of American Heroes. That project needs to go forward. That project needs to go forward, and it needs to be supported by each and every one of us. And let me just make a final point here before we conclude, and that is, the more we do this, the more we do exactly what this report talks about, and we advance patriotic education, we remember our history, and we show the great people, not people who are we are presenting as saints, not a nation we are presenting as perfect. But just like in the church, when we acknowledge the call to holiness, doesn't mean we don't sin every day. It means we have a solid direction to go in, a solid path marked out for us, a clear foundation, not a nebulous one, not one that's relativistic, not one that confuses good and evil or thinks that the meaning of good and evil changes in every generation, but one that realizes that it is founded on eternal truths that are knowable. And that if we fall today, we can get back up tomorrow. The spirit that the President's 1776 Commission articulates here is very much the spirit we believe in the church as we strive for constant renewal and repentance. So the point is, the more we root ourselves in these things, and here I come at this from the perspective of my ministry, the more we root ourselves in these things, the more pro-life we will be. Because America's, and this document mentions, you know, the great movements, abolition and women's suffrage and the civil rights movement and the pro-life movement, it mentions, as movements that have arisen in this country to reaffirm those founding principles. The more we reaffirm them, the more pro-life we will be. And the more we will realize that it is not, it cannot be the American way to snuff out babies in the womb and to allow that the smallest children are the only group of people who don't even have the protection of their right to life. So I wanted to bring this beautiful document to your attention and give you the commission, my friends. Read it, spread it, and we'll talk about it more here on these programs. Thanks so much for what you do, and may the Lord bless you, strengthen you, protect you, answer all your prayers, and make you strong advocates for life and for America. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Friends, let's continue to make America great. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. We will talk to you soon.
I think we have Richard Lee, we have Jim Garlow, and we have Father Frank Pavone, someplace there in the audience, so I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.